Most of us don't like to think about death. It's either too sad and depressing or frightening. But in today's gospel, Jesus tells us that we have to think about death. He says, "Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." We do have to think about death, but not the way that we usually do, but about the way it really is. So St. Paul tells us in today's second reading, "We do not want you to be unaware about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope." In other words, as Christians, we should have hope in the promise Jesus makes in today's gospel that those who are ready when he comes will go into the wedding feast with him. The source of our hope in the face of death is Jesus' promise of heaven to those who love him. At the beginning of this month, on All Saints Day, we recalled this promise as we remembered the dead who are already in heaven and saw in them the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made to us. But hope also requires an understanding of the feast we celebrated the day after that, All Souls Day, when we remembered the promise of purgatory. Now, most people don't think of purgatory as a promise or a source of hope like heaven is. Some Christians today even go so far as rejecting the whole concept of purgatory as a remnant of medieval superstition or preoccupation with sin and punishment. But the origins of this dogma, and it is a dogma of the Church, are found right in Scripture itself. For example, in the second book of Maccabees, it tells us that 2 centuries before the birth of Jesus, Jewish soldiers prayed for their dead, quote, beseeching that the sin they had committed might be wholly blotted out. And it concludes, "To pray for the dead is a holy and pious thing." Other people just can't understand why purgatory would exist in the first place. They think if you're good, when you die, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. Yes, but there's just a little bit more to it. Perhaps if we begin to understand, we can begin to understand the necessity of purgatory if we recall a passage from the book of Revelation where St. John tells us that the angel said to him, "Nothing unclean will enter into heaven." Nothing unclean. So let's think about this. Let's take 2 people, Mother Teresa of Calcutta and a common ordinary sinner like me. The spiritual differences between her and I are in so many ways, like the difference between night and day. She was so pure and holy, so unattached to the things of this world, to even the most venial and small sins. When Mother Teresa died, she was extremely ready to enter into heaven. She seemed to have nothing unclean about her, which is why today she is a canonized saint. But if I were to die today, there's no way that I would even try to argue the same thing about myself. Now, don't worry, I'm not the worst sinner in the world, but I'm still very much a sinner, attached to the things of this world, and I commit venial sins all the time. I'm impatient, I'm lazy, I'm prideful, and on and on. So it would seem that I'm in big trouble if I were to die today, because according to St. John, nothing unclean enters into heaven. But there's good news. St. John also tells us elsewhere in Scripture, he says, quote, "There is sin which is deadly, but there is sin which is not deadly." That word deadly is where we get the word mortal, from the Latin mortus, dead, a mortal sin. In other words, some sins are mortal. They cause us to go to eternal death, which is hell. But other sins don't cause us to lose eternal life. But since nothing unclean can enter into heaven, somehow between my imperfect life on earth and my entrance into the perfection of eternal life in heaven, something has to happen to me to transform me and make me perfectly purified. And as Saint Paul says elsewhere, somehow I need to be purified like gold in the fire. And purgatory, the place of purgation or purification, is that somehow. The teaching on purgatory then essentially reflects the great mercy of God. Because God could simply say that anyone not perfectly living out his will on earth just can't enter into heaven. I gave you a chance and you didn't do it. He could do that. So maybe Mother Teresa could go to heaven, but most of us in this room wouldn't have a chance. But the thing is, that's not the way God is. He's our Father who loves us so much and wants us to be with him in heaven so badly that unless we cut ourselves off from him by a willful act of grave sin, a mortal sin, he will bring us to his heavenly banquet. But also, like a loving father, he makes sure we wash our hands before we come to the dinner table. He washes us before we enter the heavenly banquet. Now, some who believe in purgatory fear that it's a place of terrible torture and despair. Understandably so, because many of the saints have written about it have said that. There is pain in purgatory. There seems to be no doubt about that. This is also the constant teaching of the church, that there is pain in purgatory. But there's nothing to be frightened of if we understand what the church teaches about that pain. For example, it is a pain like the pain associated with any change. When we die, we have to change from being attached to the things of this world. We have to let go of every bad habit and all sinfulness. And that kind of change is hard. It's like an athlete getting himself into shape and exercising, practicing. All that's painful. I don't know if you've ever watched videos about the NFL training camps. I mean, good Lord, I'd hate to go through that. It's painful. Or more commonly, it's like trying to cure some deadly disease like cancer. Most of us know someone who's had cancer, I would bet, and know the painful procedures they have to go through to cure that cancer. But also the pain of purgatory is fundamentally the pain of deprivation. In other words, in purgatory, the souls are so keenly aware that they're so close and yet so far from the perfect and complete happiness of heaven. It's like the person in today's psalm that we read. He prays, "O God, for you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth parched, lifeless, without water. Thus I have gazed toward you in the sanctuary to see your glory." Purgatory is painful, but both of these understandings of pain also show us how the souls in purgatory also experience intense spiritual joy. Like athletes preparing for the contest who find that the exercise is making them stronger and faster, making them more and more able to reach, not only to compete, but to win the contest. Or like the cancer patient who rejoices that the painful treatment is working, that they're being cured, that they're going to live. In a similar way, the souls in purgatory also experience joy as they become more and more the perfect creatures that God created them to be, as they're strengthened and cured from their sins, vices, and faults. But most importantly, they experience the anticipation of the joy of heaven itself because they're absolutely sure of their salvation. You and I only hope we're going to go to heaven. We hope that we'll die in the state of grace. We hope that we'll go to heaven. But they know that they're going to heaven. They're absolutely guaranteed that they're going to heaven. And so St. Catherine of Genoa once wrote, quote, "I do not believe it would be possible to find any joy comparable to that of a soul in purgatory, except the joy of the blessed in paradise. For every sight, however little that they can be gained of God, exceeds every pain and every joy that man can conceive without it." Close quote. Some say nowadays that purgatory is irrelevant or unimportant to us. But in reality, the opposite is true. First of all, it can be a tremendous source of hope and consolation. St. Paul tells us today, console one another with these words. We all know people who can't fathom how they could ever get to heaven, given the terrible sins that they know they've committed or that they think or feel like they've committed. The idea of purgatory makes real sense to those people. It gives them hope that God can really love them, even though they are so focused on their sins. They can have hope that heaven is in their reach. Or think of the families who mourn their departed family members. So often, especially after as they deal with the immediacy of their grief at the funeral, etc., they speak about the dead as if they're already in heaven, as if they, you know, were saints walking around on earth with halos glowing over their head. But when the immediate pain of the loss subsides, often the reality overwhelms them that their father or their mother or their spouse or their child really wasn't as perfect as all the eulogies said they were. Or they realize that they themselves were somehow negligent in showing their love for their beloved dead when they were alive, and they become overwhelmed with guilt. Purgatory is a perspective on God's love that gives them hope. It makes it possible to understand that not only Mother Teresa can go to heaven, but that even common sinners like you and I, our moms and dads, can also go. And it makes it possible to keep giving to them after they're gone by giving our love through our constant prayer for them. And this is the greatest reason that purgatory is relevant and important to each of us. The holy souls in purgatory need our prayers. Because if the souls enduring the cleansing fire, brothers and sisters, we must love them enough to pray for them, to assist them during their purification. When one member of the body of Christ suffers in any way, we all suffer, and we must all respond. You loved your mother or sister or brother or friend when they were here with us on earth, and I'm sure you prayed for them, especially if they were sick, because you knew that you were so limited in what you could do to help them. And you knew the best you could do to help them was to ask God to help them. And so you loved them and prayed for them. Now that they're dead, you still love them. So you still have to pray for them to help them in their suffering. You might say, "Oh no, Father, my parents, I know they're in heaven. They were really sweet people." That kind of thinking might make you feel good. But if they're in purgatory, it doesn't make them feel good. My mother was the most perfect person I ever knew. And I think she's in heaven. On the other hand, my father, whom I love very much, wasn't the most perfect person I knew. And he would be the first person, believe me, to tell you that. He was a great and loving and courageous and holy man, but he lived a very hard life, and the consequences of some of the things in his life led him to be imperfect in many obvious ways. And he knew that, and he counted on purgatory. And I know and understand that if he's there, he's happier there than he ever was on earth, because now he's finally becoming the perfect man that he always tried to be and longed to be, but failed to be. I hope he's in heaven with my mother, but I pray for both my mother and father every day, because I dread the thought of them suffering in purgatory even one moment longer than they have to, simply because I was too selfish or lazy to say a prayer for them, to help them, on their way to heaven. If we love them, we can't just forget about them. We have to pray for them. Which is why the church dedicates this entire month of November as the month for praying for the poor souls, the holy souls, in purgatory. Especially at Holy Mass. Especially by having Masses offered for their souls. We do this because the Mass is the greatest prayer we can offer for the dead. Since it's simultaneously the sacrificial prayer of Jesus on the cross and the prayer of the resurrected and ascended Jesus sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And to that perfect prayer, Christ unites and perfects the prayers of each of us and his entire church. It's very easy to be afraid of dying and to avoid thinking about it. But for a Christian, death should not be the source of fear, but the object of hope. Because we know that even as Jesus warns us that we must stay awake, for we know neither the day nor the hour when death will come, he also reminds us that in facing death, we have no reason to grieve like the rest who have no hope. The promise of the perfect life of heaven is the source of our hope. And the promise of purgatory keeps that hope alive in imperfect Christians like you and me. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.